Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Alrighty then. Buddy, you want to get us going here? Speak it loud and proud.
Thank you for this day. I get to be involved in the mercy of grace.
Yes.
Give us ears to hear what you're saying this morning in our Sunday school class. Let us share your word with everybody.
Amen, amen. I just felt the Lord wanting to do something a little different today, so we're going to kind of change it up a little bit. Since it's such a small, Psalms 85 is where we are, in such a since it's such a small psalm, I'd like to read it in a couple different versions. What do you have, Jim?
I just have the New King James.
Okay.
I just have the King James.
Okay, why don't you read it in the King James first?
Okay.
And then we're going to try some other versions here.
You have the Message?
I've got the Message, I've got Expanded, and I've got the Amplified.
Praise the Lord. This is the King James version of Psalm 85. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. You want to read the whole thing?
Yeah, read the whole
thing. Thou hast forgiven me the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Shelah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath, and thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not receive us again, thy people, that thy people might rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps.
Okay, now that everybody's here, we're going to read Psalms 85 from like three different versions. Jim, do you have the Message?
No.
Okay.
I was going to get it on the computer, but you had the Message.
Oh, well, I thought you might have had it. Well, I want Brenda to read it in the Amplified. Julie, you can read it in... go ahead and read it in the Message. Yeah.
Psalm 85. God, you smiled on your good earth. You brought the tongues back to Jacob. You lifted the cloud of guilt from your people. You put their sins far out of sight.
Okay, stop for a second. I did want to say one thing. Picture living in the time that this was written. Just kind of picture, you know, take yourself out of where you are right now in the Lord, okay? And then picture yourself in this time when it was written, because we're going to talk a little bit about the difference of the two. So go ahead.
You lifted the cloud of guilt from your people. You put their sins far out of sight. You took back your sin-provoked threats. You poured your hot, righteous anger. Help us again, God of our help. Don't hold a grudge against us forever. You aren't going to keep this up, are you? Scowling and angry year after year. Why not help us make a fresh start, a resurrection life? Then your people will laugh and sing, show us how much you love us, God. Give us the salvation we need. I can't wait to hear what he'll say. God's about to pronounce his people well. The holy people he loves so much, so they'll never again live like fools. See how close his salvation is to those who fear him. Our country is home base for glory. Love and truth meet in the street. Right living and whole living embrace and kiss. Truth sprouts green from the ground. Right living pours down from the skies. Oh yes, God gives goodness and beauty. Our lamb responds with bounty and blessing. Right living strides out before him and clears a path for his passage.
Okay, now let's go to the Amplified.
85, right?
85.
Lord, you have at last been favorable and have dealt graciously with your land of Canaan, and you have brought back from Babylon the captives of Jacob. You have forgiven and taken away the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sins. Selah. Pause and calmly think and realize what that means. You have withdrawn all your wrath and indignation. You have turned away from the blazing anger which you had let loose. Restore us, O God, of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease forever. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger and disfavor and spread it out to all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy and loving kindness, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen with expectancy to what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, those who are in right standing with him. But let them not turn again to self-confident folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who reverently and worshipfully fear him, and is ready to be appropriated, that the manifest presence of God, his glory, may tabernacle and abide in our land. Mercy and loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall make his footsteps a way in which to walk.
Okay. Interesting psalm, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, I would like to hear from everyone on this, but if you don't feel like it, that's fine. But what jumped out at this? I mean, when you heard this read in three different versions, was there anything that really jumped out to you and you went, wow? I mean, think about it in terms of living in that day, and then think about it in today's, where we are today. You know, I just want to see if there's something that jumped out at you and said, oh, wow, that's interesting, or, you know, or whatever. You know, just anything that jumped off the page at you and you said, you know, this is something that jumped off the page at me.
Sounds like a prophecy of what's to come. I have a whole hard time reconciling the God of the Old Testament with the God of the
New. Yeah, yeah. That's the first thing that jumped out at me. Yeah. Big difference.
Yeah.
You know, anybody want to continue elaborating on that, or just anything specific in that psalm that jumped out at you?
Well, I've been wrestling all week, Rich, with in Colossians, where it says that Jesus is the exact image of the Father. The exact image of the Father. When you see him, you see the Father. And then you go back in the Old Testament and read about this angry God, which sounds like a God that has no control over his emotions. You know, the way they describe him with all the adjectives that they describe him with. And I know that there's got to be some deeper understanding, a deeper revelation of how we can reconcile what's going on in the old with the new. Because Jesus, he was the manifestation of the Father. And again, as you read the old, you know, you see this God that's killing and slaughtering and maiming and angry. And I've been dealing a lot with that just this last week.
And that's what I've been dealing with from the time I started reading this exact same thing, is, you know, trying to reconcile the God of the Old Testament to the God of the New Testament. I mean, we can go ahead and just say this. We all know what happened. You know, we all know what changed. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when I was doing a little word study, and I don't, right now I don't want to get into word studies or anything, I just want to kind of look at this thing as a whole. But I looked up the word anger and wrath, and I mean, it's very rarely mentioned in the New Testament. It's almost all in the Old Testament. And I thought, I expected that, but it was good to see it, I guess. You know, it was good to confirm that word that there was a change. Something happened in time or in place or in something that there was a paradigm shift that took place. And what was that? I think we all pretty much know the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, but it's much more than just that. But that is the line that the sand, that was drawn in the sand, I believe. But I just wanted to kind of expand on that a little bit, because I think it's interesting, because you got a lot of people in the church today still living with that Old Testament God. You know, and
that's what they're ministering to the world, the people on the earth. And that's the reason why the people, especially the youth, don't want anything to do with religion.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's like, if you're not living your life on the right payoff, then you're going to have serious repercussions.
Well, what you sow, you reap.
Right. And that's saying. Like, for example, when I used to go to that Baptist church, I mean, that's
we don't do that.
Well, I mean, that's how they preach it. If you do exactly. this,
where you were, yeah.
Right.
You know, you are already judged, sized up, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter that Jesus has been deemed. And here I think it puts fear in you that if you're not following the right path, you know, think bad things are going to happen.
Okay, let me ask a couple more questions.
Where's grace at?
Exactly, yeah, they're right.
Yeah. I have a slightly different take on it. So sorry. When I look at this psalm, I look at it like this. When you read that first verse, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Now, that's a merciful God there.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we're not there yet.
No,
you're getting ahead of us.
Well,
here.
I know, but I mean, that's
definitely see some good in this.
No, but that's what I'm seeing, even from the beginning, the first verse, I'm seeing that. Mm-hmm. And then in the second verse, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people and has covered all their sins. Mm-hmm. Even in the Old Testament, God was doing that continuously.
Absolutely.
Continuously. Now, what I will say is, I'll say this. I know a particular person that had a problem in their family. And I won't mention any names. But this person basically made the statement, I don't know what I did that God's mad at me. Mm-hmm. See, that's man's mentality.
That's right.
And you know, I heard a great sermon years ago by Ray Prenzing, where he basically preached on neither. Who did sin that this man was born blind, his mother or his father? And he basically said, neither.
For the glory of God.
It was that the glory of God might be revealed. And maybe I look at things in too positive an aspect, but even when I read these things here, a lot of this stuff is self-induced. It's things that they did to themselves. You know, we do that. We self-induce ourselves.
That's the whole point.
But anyway, when it says, thou hast taken away all of thy wrath. Now, if he took away his wrath, where is it? It's not there.
Right.
Okay. Thou hast turned thyself from thy fierceness of thy anger. Now, you know, I believe even in the Old Testament that the wrath of God was always to bring righteousness. It was not to bring as much to bring punishment as it was to bring a relationship, you know. And well, anyway, I won't go through it because I'd be preaching the whole thing if I wanted to.
The point is
David's a prophet, isn't he? Really praying prophetically there, because
sure he is.
Even though God would forgive them, and
well, it says the sons of Korah were the authors of this, not necessarily David, but even in that, they realized that the mercy of God was always extended there, His love was always His forgiveness, And his redemption was always extended, even under the law it was, you know. But yet, the law could not get you there.
No, there still was no hope. God could forgive them 50 times in one day, but the Lord also knew that they were going to come right back in their old Adamic nature, old humanity.
But they always had to reach forward to the grace of God is really what they really did. And they did do that. You know, that's what David did. You know, he knew to fall in the hands, you know, when the Lord told him, you know, for him numbering Israel that time, he said, what are you going to do? Which would you rather do? Would you rather fall in the hands of your enemies? Would you rather the angel of death go through the land or whatever? He said, he'd rather fall in the hand of God, you know, because he knew the mercy of God and the love of God, you know. So.
But the body still doesn't understand. They're still operating in the Old Testament rules.
Well, they are.
Don't understand. Yeah,
they're operating. They don't understand the grace and the mercy of God. They don't.
And that's the whole point. That's the whole point I wanted to bring out. Yeah. Is we know, us sitting around this table, we know the grace and mercy of God. We all the good stuff in there. And again, even the wrath, you know, God has a plan and purpose. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. So, you know, and so my point was, you know, how do we dig into this and find the plan and purpose of God in the midst of any of it, in any of it? And, you know, he even said, restore us, O God, of our salvation. You know, Jesus hadn't walked the earth yet, but they knew he was going to. They knew there was a coming Savior. They knew the Messiah was on the way. And their hope was in that Messiah, which is, you know, praise the Lord, look at where we're living. I mean, I guess the whole point that I felt the Lord was trying to do is, like, if you could put yourself in that position and now see how blessed we are as a people, how tremendously blessed we are to have Jesus. And not only to have him, but to have him live and move and have his being in us. I mean, my gosh, I mean, if we could just really get that full revelation.
We are,
I know, but I'm just saying, if we, we would be in perfection. We would be walking around, total health, total perfection, you know, and just like Jesus when he walked this earth. And that's where we're heading. I mean, that's exactly where we're heading.
Why aren't we there? I'm sorry, I just want to be
a victim. I mean, that's an excellent question.
It's the same reason why the Jews didn't get there, because of our unbelief.
Doubt and unbelief.
We still have a hard time understanding and believing the grace of
exactly.
God. You know?
I know myself when I see unrighteousness in me, the first thing that comes to me is the motherhood spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Come on. You know, it's okay. And even though a time will come when there will be repercussions and there will be, you know, consequences of any actions, that's for another time. First, we are brought back into fellowship with God and become sure that he loves us above all things. At least that's the way it's been with me. And then consequences or whatever. But learning that it's a process, learning that it's all for our good, and learning to trust God. So many people have a problem trusting God because they don't truly know God. And you can't know God. I mean, you can't know everything about God. He is mysterious to us. You know.
They don't draw near to God, Kathy, and they don't trust the Lord because the church is still preaching the law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're afraid of this God in the Old Testament. And
you
most
think
of
that
the
that's
ministers,
some of what's still in us?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But that's what we still hear.
Okay.
We still hear, you know, we still believe a lot of the old legalistic ways.
Well, I mean, a good example of that is the covering of sin. That's probably what a lot of people believe, that God just covers sin. Because if they believe that God, as far as the east is from the west, God doesn't even remember the sin. He does not impute our passes against us, if they walk in that, then there's no discussion on sin. Why would you even do a sermon, or why would you even do anything on sin? It's just a waste of time. You're wasting the people's time sitting out there if you truly believe that your sins are forgiven.
Paul said, where there is no law, there is no sin.
There you go.
And Jesus took the law on himself at Calvary. It's gone. The sin issue is settled.
It's settled. It's gone.
As long as God's people keep thinking, well, I'm sinning, I'm this, I'm that, you're not going to enter into the promised land with that kind of thinking.
I mean, John 3:18 says you've already been judged.
Amen.
And you're not guilty.
Now, you still can miss the mark. I'm not saying that we never sin again,
No. Okay,
because we still have that old man bouncing around us. But I think all the Lord really wants us to do is just, Lord, I missed the mark. I'm sorry. And it's like, son, go on.
Yeah.
It's not held against you. Just go on. You know, instead of, oh, well, where was my
guilt and shame and everything else comes in.
I guess God's going to have to kick me around a little bit more until I get the revelation, you know? And the Lord's saying, need to do is believe in my grace and my kindness and my love and draw you away. Just keep believing that way.
But that's greasy grace.
That's right. And I love it. And it's setting the people free.
I mean, you were speaking of wrath. Ray Prince even said in a message of his, when God is in control, that even the wrath should praise him. Mm-hmm. So, and all things.
It's all good.
It's all, and all
when you
burrow things.
Down into it, it's all good. Mm-hmm.
And then Kelly Myers was talking about this beastly, how we don't have really any control or anything. He's looking at that we're not overcoming it. Marriage, our flesh, the things in us, and he was looking at it and said, "How are you going to rule the world and you can't even rule your children, what's within you and that?" And he was saying, that's when he was speaking and saying, give me a break. You know, Kelly Martin was saying that when he was in a meeting and looking at all the things that, you know, we're talking about going to rule when God is really dealing with us and the overcoming and becoming him.
Well, that word wrath is, of course, anger, natural disposition, temper, character, but the root is, you know, in the Bears, it says internal motion like plants or fruit swelling with juice. Mm-hmm. To stretch oneself out in order to touch or grasp something, to reach after or desire something. And they give an example of to give oneself up to the love of money. But then you go even deeper, and the word means a mountain. And then it goes on to say to remove mountains. And it says to accomplish most difficult, stupendous, incredible things.
Wow.
So that's, you know, like Brother Oscar was saying, that wrath has a purpose that's going to always bring us back to him. You know, it's always going to bring us, you know, whatever that, I mean, when things are going tough, that's when we kind of cozy up to the Lord a little bit more. And I mean, it's sad, but it's true, you know. And when we cozy up to the Lord, then we realize how much we need him and how much we should trust him and how much, if we do all these things and allow him to work through you, man, it just makes things so much easier.
And his abundance of grace.
In his abundance of grace. I mean, it just, then we can do most difficult, stupendous, incredible things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But, you know, when we're sitting there trying to do it ourselves, you know, then we're putting a mountain in front of us. You know, we're putting a big mountain in front of us, you know, because we're saying, I don't see a way past the mountain. The mountain's in the way, and I can't see my way past that mountain. It's so insurmountable. This mountain is just so big that I can't see past it. That's all. I'm consumed by this mountain.
That's why we've got to stay focused on him.
Stay focused on him, and speak to that mountain, be ye removed and cast into the sea, and that mountain's gone. And then your vision is clear. Your path is clear. And you can see beyond all the mountains become molehills. And any mole, I got moles in my yard, and let me tell you, they're not clouding my vision other than I want to get them. But no, when it comes to a mountain being in your way, God's the only one that can remove that mountain. And we need to speak to those mountains in our lives, because then that just increases our faith and gets us to a point where we do trust Him more and more and more and more.
And see His hand in all things.
And see His hand in all things. You look like you had something there.
No, I can say something, but
go ahead.
Like I say, when you deal with the anger of God, everybody wants to blame God for everything that happens, you know.
Of course.
I mean, you know, a kid gets hurt or something, or gets run over by a car. Well, God, why did you let this happen? Well, God didn't necessarily let it, well, He could have control, He allowed it to happen. He didn't make it happen.
Right.
You know, the kid was dumb and run out in front of a car, that's what happened, you know. And maybe somebody was driving too fast or whatever. But the thing about it is that we got to quit attributing everything that we consider to be bad as being God coming against us in something, because it's not always, that's not always the case. We're still eating of the knowledge of good and evil if we do that. We're eating of that tree, you know, where everything that's negative that happens to you, if you believe what it says in Romans 8 chapter, which we're jumping up into the New Testament there, that all things work together for good of them that love of the Lord and are called according to His purpose, everything happens.
Everything.
And that, you know, I mean, look at, I like what Clarice said that one time about her daughter, that she'd always say when her daughter came around and visited the one that was on drugs and stuff, she'd always say, well, you know, she'd say, I always say, I see her saved, serving the Lord, and preaching the word, and doing all these different things. And she'd always proclaim positive things, even though her daughter was out of drugs, probably stealing, doing anything she could do to get the money, to get the drugs. And yet, what ended up happening? She got caught. She got thrown in prison. After she got thrown in prison, she did come back to the Lord. And she was teaching people, and she was doing everything that Clarice had been saying. But it had happened the way Clarice probably wanted it to happen? No. But it did happen. You know what I mean. And that's the thing, is that God has, He has the ability that no matter what negative thing is going on, to work it together for good.
Amen.
You know. And if we look at the negativity of it, we're going to blame God for all the bad things that happen all the time. Or the devil. We throw it off on the devil. And you know, it's like the old thing they used to say, they saw the devil sitting on the curb one day crying, and they come up and ask him, what's the matter with you? Why are you crying? He says, because I get blamed for everything I didn't get to do.
But see, it's only natural to blame God in the bad thing, because we don't see the big picture. I mean, that's just everybody, a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
That's your first reaction.
Well, it's because they don't really know God.
They don't know him
in the sense that you don't blame God for anything. Most of the things that happen, Scripture says, thine own iniquity will chasten you.
Mm-hmm.
And our own shortcomings tends to chasten us. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like somebody will, they'll end up not having some money one week. Oh, God, how did you let me not have no money?
Yeah.
Well, because you went to the boat and you gambled it away. That's why. Or you gave it to your son when he was bugging you, and you shouldn't have gave it to him, you know, or whatever.
Right.
I mean, a lot of times we do that stuff, and then we just, oh, my God, I can't believe that you're not meeting me. Well, you know, he met you. You worked. You got paid. Then you did stupid stuff with your money, you know. I mean, you know.
Yeah, back to what you were saying, though, that there's consequences to sin. I mean, if you're going to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day, and then you get whatever level of lung cancer that's basically, you know, you have days or weeks or months to live, you know, you did that to yourself. Don't blame God. Well, God, why'd you let me smoke 3 packs? I mean, you know, that's ridiculous for someone to say that. No one probably would say that, but they'll turn it around and say, where a child has a sickness or something, God, why'd you let that child have that sickness? You know, so it's just back to, you know, doing what we know to do and being able to trust him in all things. And back to this thing of, I always found it interesting where it talked about covering sins and having, you know, in the temple where they would sacrifice animals and one day of atonement every year where they go into the holy. I always thought the sin thing was very interesting back then because you never ever really ever got clean, you know, because they could have the Day of Atonement and everybody's sins were forgiven or at least covered for that period of time. And then the very next day, you could do something. Now you have 364 more days of dealing with that sin before the next Day of Atonement or the next bullet gets sacrificed or whatever. And I just like this, I got this book Sarah Young wrote called Jesus Today, and it's really, I just love it. It's
that's, a really, that's a good title. Sarah, that's a real good title.
Sarah Young is Jesus, a great.
She's great. I just love her. I just love her perspective. And I'm going to just go ahead and read this to me. Yeah, this, she's got the third one coming out in October. This is the second one right here.
Jesus Today.
Oh, yeah. It's well, you can hear the Spirit of the Lord in this. It says, and back to what we were saying earlier about how we deal when we miss the mark. It says, confess your sins to me. Don't be afraid to face your self-honesty in my presence. In this brilliant light, you can see many things that miss the mark of my perfect standard. Through this, it's uncomfortable. Do not try to run away or shift blame. Instead, agree with me about these matters and leave them with me. Rejoice, because I have already paid the penalty.
Amen.
That's it. Taking the whole punishment. I mean, some people take joy. Some believers take joy in, you know, being in the sackcloth and ashes, you know, and oh, you know me. No, that's not how God wants us to deal with our missing the mark.
It's paid in full.
It's paid, the whole punishment for all your sins, all of them, every one. Joyfully receive, I like that, joyfully receive the forgiveness I bought for you with my own blood. When I forgive you, I also cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that's a whole other thing, isn't it? I mean, not only do we get our sins forgiven, but he comes in and cleans us all up. Wow. I even clothe you in my own perfect righteousness. As you walk in the light with me, there is a continual cleansing work going on within you. This purifying work of my blood helps you stay close to me and to others who walk in the light. Blessed are those who walk in the light of my presence. They rejoice in my name all day long, exulting in my righteousness.
That's good.
So, you know, what a blessing we have. And, you know, we just need to really, really get the full revelation of what we are able to walk in. We can walk in this every day and not have to walk in any condemnation or any guilt or shame or anything, just walk in that light, you know, in that perfect bright light where there is no darkness whatsoever. There's just light. That's it, you know. That's what the Bible says.
Doesn't say almost, whatever.
So anyway, I threw this scripture in there because I liked it. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's a New Testament verse.
It is, yeah. And then in talking about wrath, that word mountain that I was talking to you about, that's really a root of a root of a root.
Mm-hmm.
This same word is in this scripture, John 8, 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. It's the same exact word as mountain that we talked about earlier. This is something also I found. It says, the sense of present afflictions should not drown the remembrance of former mercies.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
But even when we are brought very low, we must call to remembrance past experiences of God's goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Having covered all their sin, thou hast taken away all thy wrath. For when sin is set aside, God's anger ceases. God is pacified
wow.
if we are purified.
Well, and sin is set aside.
Yeah.
So God's anger has ceased.
Yeah. Well, it's a sin.
Where there is no law, where there is no sin.
The next thing I was going to say is, under the covenant of the law, sin was kept covered.
Yeah.
Or hidden. By the continual offering of animal sacrifices.
Now it's cast as far as the east is from the west, and I remember your sins no
more.
Yes.
And Romans 5 says, God demonstrates his love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. While we were still sinners, he died for us. But now all of a sudden the body still thinks, oh, I missed the mark a little bit. Oh, you know.
Let's go back to the law.
What God's going to put me through now because I, you know.
Yeah.
The Lord says, I already put you through it on Calvary and my son. You don't have to go there anymore. Just focus on my son.
And
see that it's finished.
85:2 says, you have forgiven the iniquity of your people, you have covered all their sins. When Jesus cried his last words from the cross, it is finished, sin and its curse were from that moment forever canceled. Covering sin was not God's complete plan. That was just a foretaste of what was coming. There's only a shadow of better things to come.
Right.
You know? And that's Hebrews 10:11 says, and every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. It was not intended to. God never had plan B or C. He had plan A, and plan A worked perfectly.
It still is.
And still is, and it's, the timing is what throws people off. You know, I'm sure the people in the wilderness walking around for 40 years, okay, Lord, you can bring the Messiah now. You know, we're ready for him. I mean, we can't wait to have the Messiah. Well, the Messiah was there in the form of a rock.
Abraham believed.
Yeah.
He became the father of many nations.
Jesus said, Abraham saw my day.
That's right.
And he rejoiced.
I think David saw
my day. They got upset with him and said, well, how is it Abraham saw your day? You aren't yet, you're just, you know, 30 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
And he there, and then he told him, verily I said unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Yeah.
God, Jesus was revealing himself all through the Old Testament, everywhere through the Old Testament.
First chapter of Genesis.
The mercy, the God, you know, what did David say, you know? In the 23rd Psalm, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knew the Lord, and he knew Jesus Christ, but he didn't know him as the name Jesus. He knew him as Savior. He was a Savior, but he didn't know him as the name of Jesus. You know,
he ate the showbread.
That's right. And what happened when Uzziah went in? Uzziah went in and tried to offer incense before the Lord, and he was smitten with leprosy in his forehead, but it was because he became strong. See, strength can never approach God. You can't approach God in strength. you better approach him in weakness and realizing how strong and big he is and how little and insignificant you are in the grasp of who he is. But then what happens is that he pours his self into you, and that's where he exalts you. You don't exalt yourself. And that's where you got to keep a real balance, because sometimes in some of the things that people say, you know, you hear a lot even in deep retreat truth preachers, you can step over a little too far and begin to think that you're way more than what you are, and that happens to a lot of them out there. And then they get over into things. I mean, I was at a meeting one time, and this guy was basically saying he didn't bring a Bible to a Bible study. He said, "Well, I have no need of that anymore." You know, and I'm thinking, wow. Okay. You know,
But what was his reasoning behind it?
Well, his reasoning was that he was already perfect. And another person at this particular Bible study was getting ready to go down and preach to this church down in Louisville, and he says, "I'm going to go down there," and he says, I'm going to preach a sermon." He says, "I know they'll never have me back because I'm going to blow them away and all this kind of stuff." And I'm sitting there, and I told him, and I spoke up to him. I said, "Brother, let me ask you a question. I said, do you give a steak to a baby? They don't have no teeth." I said, "You don't, do you?" I said, "Why would you think that you go down there and give them something that they can't get?" Mm-hmm. I said, "Why would you not go down there and build line upon line and precept upon precept and give them what they could digest, that they might have you back, that you could build a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more until they grow to a place that they could accept the deeper truths?" I said, you know, that's the trouble with a lot of the deeper truth preachers. I mean, they'll make statements that really bother me when I hear them say it. You know, that they're so far advanced above everybody else. Well, no, I got this for you.
Let's see.
When you think that, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You know.
What does Brother say to that when you gave him the word?
What did he say? Nothing. He didn't say nothing. Because I think he knew what it said was the truth. He just got quiet. I mean, I didn't like speaking up and saying that to him, but I felt like I was supposed to. And the guy sitting there that had no need of the Bible anymore because he was so far advanced, he didn't need it. I thought, yeah, you're advanced, all right. Scary, scary, scary.
Right out of your own bridges.
That's right.
Deceived.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, I'm going to close with this, just a paragraph here that from this book. It says, "Remember, my delight in you is based on my finished work on the cross. So don't fall into the trap of trying to earn my love. Instead, live as the one you truly are, my beloved. And let your gratitude keep you close to me, eager to follow wherever I lead. I delight in you." Wow.
You're going to go through those other verses
next week? Yeah, we'll kind of break it down a little bit more next week. Because there's so much good stuff in
there. I just absolutely love verse 10.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll break it down next week.
Psalm 85?
Yeah, verse 10.
What's it say?
Mercy and truth have met together. Yeah. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Yeah, I love that.
That's my favorite verse in that scripture. I love that.
Joy in the message says, "Love and truth meet in the street. Mm-hmm. Right living and whole living embrace and kiss."
You know what I see when I see that? I see the first time you ever met with the person that you knew that you loved them, the first time you saw them, you know, where you had that instant mercy and truth meet together. That's you know.
It's a good marriage, isn't it?
It's
mercy
a great
and
marriage.
Truth.
You can get no better than that. Yeah.
Okay, praise the Lord. Brendan, can you close us up?
Amen. Father, we so thank you for the word, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for how you're growing us up in you, O God. Now, Father, as we go forth to the following service. Glorify yourself, my God. May we worship you. May we hear what you have to speak to each of our hearts. And may we be obedient.